How we do? Just give me the kit. Well, I don't know how I'm going to get through this morning because that worship was absolutely beautiful and broke me. Once again, helped me see my need of Jesus and His grace and what He does for us and not what we do for ourselves. And thank you to the team for such a great work. I am happy. I'm not sad. I'm not saying. I'm just emotional at the moment. And it's a good thing if we can continue to be emotional for the kingdom and the king. And so we continue with our series, Bridge Builders for the Kingdom, part 4. And what I want to preach on this morning, go figure, bridges of grace. And we are bridges of grace. Can you turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, please? And we're going to look there. We started off with the series seeing the bridge picture, seeing the big picture, seeing the whole big encapsulating picture. And then Janine spoke, do you know who you're building with? And I always listen to the sermon so I don't miss out on the series myself, because it's vitally important that we stay focused on where we are going. And so Michael and Janine spoke on, do you know who you're building with? And I thought when I saw the title that she meant, do you know who you're building with? But she was talking about more, do we know who we are building with? Who's in charge? And who's helping us? And then, of course, Bridge Builders to the Lost is what Michael spoke about. And just to refresh your memories, I spoke about in the beginning of seeing the bridge picture that Jesus is our pontifex, our higher priest, our high priest who leads us and guides us and shows us the way. And He came and He built a number of bridges. And the first bridge He built was from heaven to earth when He came and built this bridge from heaven to earth. Then He built another bridge when He said, I am going to prepare a place for you, a bridge that He built from earth to heaven. And then He helped us to build bridges man to man and in relationship, because God is a relational God. And we see that when we look to it and we see that the establishment of this church in all its different facets and the focus and the ethos of this church going forward. And I love Bridget's word this morning, is that when Jesus went to the cross, He went for what had gone past, but He looked forward into the future and He saw you and I, and that's why He died. And we had the privilege this last week to stand in the vicinity of where Jesus was buried, and we saw Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified, near Golgotha, not on Golgotha as we think. But it was just an amazing emotional experience to see and to know that this is where my Lord and Savior was and where the deed was took place for history and eternity. I see this church as a bridge builder to the community in so many different facets. I see this as a place where people can come and be restored. I see this as a place where people can come and find salvation. I see this as a place where we can come and mature in Christ Jesus. Because sometimes we are not mature, and we might think we are mature, and I'm still learning. Sorry, hot tip, I'm still learning. I do not have all the answers. I don't have it all down. But I'm willing to be teachable and available to the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us. I see this as a place for a bridge of a new day. I see this as a place that will shift paradigms and things that we thought about and we have believed and we are so convinced of it, we will say, no. Because I was convinced that Jesus was crucified on a hill. But when you understand Jewish law and the way they did it, He wasn't. I'm sorry to disappoint you. He was crucified on the roadside that people walk past. And so I had to have a paradigm shift. Not to talk about our trip, but it was a wonderful vacation. But there's so many things that the names they called it. They don't call it the Sea of Galilee. They call it the Lake of Kinneret. And I'm like, where's that? And then I heard someone say, well, the Lake of Tiberias. Yeah. And we realized it's Lake of Tiberias, Lake of Kinneret, and Sea of Galilee, all the same place. So there's so much more for us to learn. And the value of Jezreel or Israel and the value of Megiddo and the value of Armageddon are all the same places. Armageddon is a very poor Jewish interpretation. Because it means on the valley of Megiddo. That's what Armageddon actually means. But we stood and saw it and looked and I thought, if this is literal, how is the blood going to run in this valley? Because it's huge. This got nothing to do with what I'm preaching about this morning. I see this as a place where we will lay ourselves down in the gap and we will be the bridge. Not just this as a bridge or us together as building a bridge into our community, but that we will be the bridges, that we would lay our lives down for people. In a small way, like Sir Walter Raleigh laid his coat down for the puddle. Are you willing to physically lay yourself down for someone over the puddle? Bridges of grace. I want to look at this morning at the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians is a wonderful apostolic letter. I'm not going to do the whole book, obviously. But I want, just so us can get a picture, I want 6 quick volunteers. Come up front. I need a guy in the beginning and a guy at the end. And if we got girls, then they can be in the middle. No, it's just something I wanted to do. I don't want the ladies to have to do. Come, Kevi. So 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There we go. Okay. All right. So we have 6 now. So this is the book of Ephesians in the picture of grace. Alan, lie down, because you're dead, dude. Ephesians says we are dead in our transgressions and our sins. You might think if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you might think you're alive, you're dead. Pause for effect. You're dead. But you can be like you're worshiping because we've been made alive in Jesus Christ. And you can sit down, Sherry, because we have been seated in heavenly places. Sorry, Bren, you're going to have to kneel. And I kneel before the Father in heaven, from whom all have received or derived their name, Scripture says. And we need to learn to walk. Walk, Kevy. On the spot. Don't walk away. Just walk on the spot. Come. No, you don't walk like that. Come. Yeah, walk. We walk. Walk worthy of the calling that have been given. And Christopher, you know where you're going to be wrestling and fighting. Show us how you can fight and wrestle. Come on. Wrestle. Come on. There we go. We were dead in Christ. We've been made alive. We are seated in heavenly, and we need to get this in. If you don't remember anything else I preached this morning, remember this. We are seated in heavenly places. This is not on the platform. This is in heavenly places. Because we kneel before the Father, and we walk worthy of the calling that is given us, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Thank you, guys. You're alive! Okay, so if you don't get anything else, just get that picture in your head for the next time I stand and preach here. And what I love about the book of Ephesians, you say, well, the Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible. And yes, it is. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ. Somebody read from Ephesians this morning. I thought you were going to steal my thunder. But it's all very good. Because we are faithful in Christ Jesus. If you take the first 14 verses and you take a highlighter and you highlight the word in Christ, you will see how He has made us alive in Christ. And we walk in Christ and we wrestle in Christ and we live in Christ and we were seated in heavenly places in Christ. There we go. Now we're getting warmed up. In Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's the Trinity? Verse chapter 3. Blessed be the God and Father for our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual, Holy Spirit blessing in the heavenly places. And we need to have a look at that and say that we are blessed by God our Father. In Christ Jesus we stand because we are where? seated in heavenly places. These are the paradigm shifts I want us to get and understand that we don't live under law. We're not bound by law. We live in the freedom and the liberty of grace. Because unless we understand that, how can we be a bridge of grace? Yes, Mark. Thank you. I feel anointed. You're all anointed. That's religious bunk. But he's so anointed. No, we're all anointed. Because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Because we are seated in heavenly places. And when you open your mouth and you speak the scriptures and those that God has laid upon your heart and you speak the oracles, you're anointed to do that. All of us. Together.
There we go. Alan said amen. Thank you, Alan.
Let's go to verse 15, chapter 1, verse 15. We're going to read quite a lengthy piece of scripture, as you can see by my thing up there. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God, listen again for the Trinity, listen that for that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. NIV says it a little bit better, and it sounds like it's a question, but it's not a question, it's a statement. That our inheritance, the hope of our inheritance, are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the work of His great might? That He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority. Not sort of just head and shoulders above. Not sort of just somewhere close by. Far above all rule. Nothing can attain that. Nothing can get hold of that. He is seated afar above all rule. And where are we seated? With Him. Far above all rule. There should be nothing earthly, nothing fleshly, nothing on this earth that should bind us and hold us down and keep us in a place and keep us in bondage, because we are seated with Him. And He gives us that liberty and freedom. And above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church. We know, Matthew 16, 18, that the church was the Father's idea and Jesus' idea. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. But God has placed Him in the head of the church. You might say, well, I love God, but I don't like church. That's an oxymoron. It is blasphemy. Well, the people that go there are funny. Yep. And they're a peculiar people, as I reminded you. We're all idiotes. Peculiar people, Greek. For those who've never heard me say that before, doesn't mean you're an idiot. It means we're idiotes. We are a peculiar people. We are aliens passing through, marching towards the goal that He has set before us. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. You cannot say, I love God, but I don't like His church. You might not like some of the decisions that are made. You might not like some of the ideas that happen. You might not even agree with some of the preaching. Or the worship, because the drums are always way too loud, right? No. Not. Where are the drummers? You should be screaming your heads off. There we go. Come on. Verse chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespass. Oh, see, the Bible says that stuff. I didn't just make it up. And the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. We were following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, Because you cannot follow Jesus and you cannot follow Satan at the same time. You're either doing one or the other. Now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. I don't know if this scripture is like wishy-washy. I think this is pretty clear. But, I love the buts in scripture, because buts do what? They negate everything you just said. But, God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, and even when we were dead in our trespasses, you should be screaming and shouting by now. And we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him, you could do that better, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages we might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved. It's like we need to repeat that because we didn't get it the first time. For by grace we have been saved. Through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Psalm 139 verse 16 says that each day He has written in the book the things that we should do in Christ Jesus. And here we see prophecy coming true in the New Testament. What we need to get out of this is a number of things. That we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation to understand. And it talks about, and I'm going to repeat this a few times because I don't always look at my notes and I remember I wrote it down and then I've said it and now what do I do? So the knowledge of Him, the epignosis, the epigenosis if you like, versus gnosis. Epigenosis means the knowledge of, that I have an intimate knowledge of. Gnosis means this. That I know Wally. I'm just going to use him. I know Wally. I gnosis Wally. I epigenosis Bridget. When she puts her head like that, I know exactly what she's doing. She puts her head like that, and she puts her foot like that, she puts her hand like that. I know every nuance of her. But that's how God wants to know us and wants us to know Him. That every nuance that we make and do, He knows. Ah. There we go. And when God says something, we go, ah, because we have the knowledge. And what it is, that epigenosis means the ethical and divine knowledge of God. And that's what grace gives us. Because we can't study for it. We can't learn it. We can't go to the books. We cannot go to any shrine to get it. It's by the Father, through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit within us. The Trinity at work in ourselves. His desire for us is to know Him better. I just said that. Our relationship with Christ would deepen. We need to grasp, to take hold of an intimate relationship that we may grasp the difference between living legalistically, under law, and living in grace. And that we don't confuse the two, because sometimes, because of our self-preservation, we want to confuse the two. And there are some people who hate the grace message because it means you're taking away all my little boxes, my barriers and my shrines and the things that I have to do. That we walk in the liberty and the freedom of grace. Grace is not a feeling. Grace is not an emotion. Grace is a person. And His name is Jesus Christ. Some people, believe me, some are still a little bit confused. That's okay. So what do we have? We have a new relationship. We stand in a new relationship. Because we were dead in our trespasses, we have been made alive, and we're seated in heavenly places. So now that I'm so near the sun that I'm not getting burnt, but I'm in a new relationship. And there's two things that we need to be in a relationship. Number one is with God. And He says that with God, 1 verse 7, a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. and we did all the epigenosis thing. And God wants to have a relationship with us. That's why He created us. That's why He was said to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Wow. So we could go and we could have fun? No. So we could go into the desert 3 days walk and we could worship Him. Because we are created to worship Him. And that's why we get so confused and bent out of shape. Because we, in your mind's eye, and I'm telling you, even when I wasn't a Christian, I knew about God. I didn't want to really know about Jesus because I knew what that meant. So what I did is I created my own little Mark God philosophy. That God was afar off in the heavens there, sitting around watching me mess up. And when I messed up, He'd hit me on the head with a stick. And when I did good, then I did good. That is legalism 101. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. That's not how God functions and not how God operates. And Isaiah says, I will never be angry with you anymore, ever again. Just as in the days of Noah. You can go and read it. Isaiah. I can't remember the chapter now. Sorry? 54, thank you. There we go. We need to have a high view of God. Don't try and bring God down to our level. We need to understand that He is our Father in heaven. We know that. And that He is our daddy, and He is Abba Father, but He's not our playmate. He's not someone we just call on when, hey, look, I'm in trouble now, let's call on God. But unfortunately, that's what we do. And we need to have a sovereign fear and reverence of this Almighty God. Because He is God, Abba Father, full of grace, and full of truth. God in creation called everything good, and then He got to man and He said what? Very good. But even very good wasn't good enough, because very good was all alone. And so He said, come here, let me put you to sleep, my boy. I'm going to take something out your side. Not out of your better tarsal, underfoot, out of the side, out of your rib. I'm going to build you and help me. And Adam woke up and said, wow. Hello, Borky. Which means, you beautiful, wonderful woman. God is a relational God. He wanted Adam and Eve to be in relation. And what did He say? Go and multiply and have dominion and do all that you need to do, type of thing. And then we also need to have a relationship with others. And with others, we mean us, those out there, just so you don't get confused, not just us four and no more, but a relationship out there that we can impact and be bridges of grace and be bridges to our community, be bridges to the lost. 1 verse 22, and He put all things on His feet and gave Him His head over all things to the church. The fulfillment of prophecy. It was always God's idea that Jesus would be the head of the church. Psalm 8 verse 6, you have given Him dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under His feet. We are meant to gather together, not separate. Not when I'm feeling, oh well, I'm feeling terrible now, I just don't think I'm going to go to church anymore. That's the wrong paradigm. I want your paradigms to change. When you're having a tough time, come and see your brothers and sisters and praise the King and worship the King. That is what grace is. Legalism and law separates you, puts you into bondage, puts you, well, I'm just going to stay and I'm going to go down the bargain of the garden and I'm going to eat worms. I'm not feeling loved. How are you going to be loved at the bottom of the garden? Come here, because we all have, what? Worms, yes, we all know. Quirks, I think, I had the Afrikaans word in my head. Yeah, see a doctor. I had this word, Afrikaans word, says femises. We have all these funny little ideas and thoughts in our heads about ourselves and other people. A holy you guys aren't helping. Yes. Okay, let me just get back to my notes, because then I can stay on track. John Donne, when he wrote the poem, said, "No man is an island." We should need to learn that as Christians. That should be Christianity 101. Well, nobody loves me. The pastor didn't even greet me this morning. Where am I? Hebrews 10:23. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." Be constant, not where I'm left. What does the Bible say about a man who's double-minded? Unstable in all his ways. Not some of them. If he's double-minded, well, maybe he's just double-minded in this thing. No. Stay constant. "I hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting." Not neglecting. Not neglecting. "To meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I couldn't have written this better myself. Thank goodness they didn't put me up to it. But it's so clear. Having a loving community around us. You know, shall I tell you what? When you think poofy thoughts, when you think silly thoughts, when you think nobody's loving me, nobody cares for me, I don't feel this, I don't feel that, it's exactly what you just said. I. Because we don't feel that way. We love you desperately. We care for you desperately. That's speaking for me personally, and I can speak for Chris and his wife and Michael, who's there, is that we have been called to be shepherds of God's flock. And we take that job very seriously. Thank you, Peter. Well, he stood up and he was preaching at me this morning. No, I think the Holy Spirit was talking to you. I think he planned that whole sermon just to hurt me. So I'm going to stay away from church and I'm not going to come anywhere near those people. Do you get offended with people at work and then decide you're going to take the rest of the week off? Oh, I see you laughing because that's ridiculous. Why, when we come to church, we think it's okay? This is where the life is. Work is just where you earn money. This is where life is. I want to go to heaven, I want to go to hell. Oh, that's a big decision. Not. Anyway, I'm taking way too much time. Okay. We have a new relationship. Oh, I didn't even spell that right. See? There's no spell check on PowerPoint. You didn't even pick it up, right, Alan? Realsonship. Do you know what realsonship is? You've got to be real with each other. It's a new word. I'm going to make sure they put that in there. I've just seen it now. Realsonship. Who saw that? I spelled that wrong. Come on, just be honest. Until I pointed it out to you. Grace. Oh, I see it. It's grace. Well, there's relationship and there's realship. Realsonship. You can see I'm still a bit jet-lagged. A new ruler. Oh no, I should have just kept quiet. Now I've just pointed out all my faults. We have a pastor who don't spell too good. I did get an A for English in school. Considering I had to write an English exam to become a permanent resident in this country. Did you know that? Really? Did I? Anybody got a sharp knife? I don't want to feel the pain. It's like, did I pass? Should like ask Dom. Dom had to write it too. And he's born in England. He's English. He's more English than they come. Don, did you pass? Yeah, just. Okay. A new ruler. What are we talking about, a new ruler? Number one, we were slaves to sin. We were dead in our transgressions. Chapter 2, verse 2, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. Do you know that there are choices made for you that you don't get to make? Because if you don't make a choice for Jesus, you made a choice for Oh, no, Mark, you're not allowed to preach that stuff. Okay, what are you going to do? Sue me? Just think. I'm just preaching Bible. A slave is a loaded word in many cultures, but mostly don't realize that they are slaves to the flesh and slaves to sin. They've heard of grace. Well, I want that grace thing. You know what the truth is? If we do not, let me confuse you a little bit more here. The law is not a bad thing. Law is a good thing. Because the law is our schoolmaster to teach us what we don't want and that we need grace. But if you don't understand that, you're never going to understand this. And we need to know, and you've heard them how people go about it sometimes. Well, do you think you're going to go to heaven? Yes, of course I'm going to go. Why do you think you're going to go to heaven? Well, because I'm a good person. Well, what makes you think you're good? Well, because, well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever stolen? No lying now, because it says you shouldn't lie either. Yeah, well, I did steal. Okay. Have you ever blasphemed? Yeah, I've blasphemed. Have you ever committed adultery? No. Have you ever looked at a woman lustfully and wished? Yeah. Okay, so you believe that as a lying, thieving adulterer, you're going to go to heaven? No, maybe not. So what do I need? You need grace. Now you understand why the law is there. And now I need grace that I can walk in it. That I, when I go out of here, I can be a bridge of grace. That I can build a bridge of grace. Because I understand when I walk. And that's why I get so emotional when I read these songs, these words of these songs, and I sing them with all my heart and with every fiber of my being. I see grace pierced and crucified for me. Blood falling down. Robes that I'm not worthy of wearing. But through grace, I am sanctified and saved. And I walk in the fullness of that. Not doubting, not wondering, thinking. Am I a saint? Of course I'm a saint. The Bible says I'm a saint. God says I'm a saint. Because we have another picture of what saints are. Oh no, you can't be a saint. That's just too lofty thinking. No, get your paradigm shift changed. I'm a saint of Jesus Christ. We were slaves to sin. I just don't have time for everything I've got here. Romans 6, 1, 6, verse 17. But thanks to be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. It says we followed this course of this world and we just sometimes we're doing it like blind people. We don't even know we're there. Because we can't see the light. We're just walking in darkness. But I'm having so much fun. I'm partying and I'm doing everything. And I'm working hard and I'm helping old ladies across the street and I'm getting cats out of trees and I'm doing all the good stuff. But you're still following the way of the world. Because it's not by works. It's by His grace. But now we have become slaves to righteousness. Ephesians 2 verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. But you don't understand, Mark. You just have no idea what kind of life I've had. No, I don't. Unless you tell me. But I want to tell you, I can pick another 10 people who can, I can mirror your life. Because we wear that as a badge. Wow, it's a bad to the bone. No. By grace we have been saved. By grace of God, I never went to jail. Some of you can't believe that. Why? I just didn't get caught. Bad to the bone. Doesn't matter. While we were dead in our trespasses, He loved us. and by grace we have been saved. Well, I got to clean up to come to this church place. No. Why? Because it says He loved us as we were. As a slave, let me read Ephesians 2:4, Romans 6:18. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Now some translations say, having been made free. Now let me tell you what I know. This is going to excite Christopher. What the difference is here. If you're a slave to something, you cannot set yourself free. But you can be made free. Because even when you are set free, you can live with the slave mentality. And there are so many Christians who have been set or made free, think they are set free, but they live in this mindset of poverty. I live in a poverty mindset. Because why? I haven't in my mind, in my knowledge, in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, I haven't had the paradigm shift. I haven't had the metanoia. I haven't had the paradigm shift. I haven't had everything changed in my thinking. That's what repentance means. I haven't had my thinking changed to think differently about it. So I live in this poverty mindset that God's not going to be providing for me. So we can what we get, and we get what we can. And we just hold on to everything, too frightened to actually dish something out. I'm not just talking about finance, I'm talking about anything, pick something. We live in a shackled to the mentality of condemnation and guilt. When I do something wrong, do wrong, get wrong. Okay, when's the smack going to come from God? And then we have a car accident. See, God made me have a car accident because I was naughty. That is faulty thinking, stinking thinking. Because we live in this guilt. Well, I did something naughty on Saturday, so I can't go to church on Sunday. That's the exact place you need to go. And do you know that when you have been bad, His correction and His reproof doesn't mean He takes His hand of love away from you. Any parent here disciplined or corrected or reproved their child and felt while you were doing that you hated them. Why do we think that about God then? You don't understand. He's taking His hand away from me. That is not biblical. Get a paradigm shift. God loves you no matter what. There is nothing you can do right now, this millisecond, there is nothing you can do sitting here listening to my verbiage that is going to increase God's love for you. God loves you 150% now. And when you walk out of here, or as you're thinking now, oh, He doesn't know what He's doing. God knows all your thoughts. He's telling me what you're thinking. He's not going to love you any less. And I'm not going to love you any less because you are legalistically minded. You're living under law. Because God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. And now that He's resurrected and living, and because you've become a child of God, you're seated in heavenly place. Okay, you naughty boy, out for today. When you repent, you can come back up here. Oh man, you know there's going to be like this traffic in this world. No, we are seated in heavenly places. We stay there. We mess up and we go on. We say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm saying, that's okay, my boy, I got you. And the enemy comes and says, you see what Sean was doing? You see what Sean was doing? And Jesus looks at the enemy, looks at the Father, says, don't worry, Dad, got it. I'm the advocate. I'm intercessing for him. It's all sorted, covered under the blood. My blood, I shed it. I know what I was doing. You're way too quiet. This should be good, liberating news. Thank you, Francie. So where are we? Made free. So we can't make ourselves free. He made us free. And we need to do the Romans 12 thing. Have a paradigm shift. Have our metanoia, our parenthesis changed, our thinking changed. Think in a different way now. So when you're driving the car and you get in, the guy cuts you off, road rage, stop, change the thinking. I'm living under grace now. That's okay. Silly driver. You shouldn't have done that. I'm just carrying on, Lord. I'm living in your perfect will. We think that when something goes wrong, then God's... We like to blame the devil. The devil made him turn in front of me and cross the traffic light, and the devil did that. The devil made me do it. Hot tip. The devil cannot make you do anything. How do you know, Mark? I live this life. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know. Okay, let me try and finish this thing. We live in a new year. We knew we were going to get to relationship. We got a new reality. Chapter 2, verse 7. In the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You know why this piece of scripture was so important to the Ephesians church? Because the Ephesians church was preoccupied with magic, magician work, and the occult. And we too today have a preoccupation with so many other things that are not godly. New age. Remember I preached that message, Two Tribes Go to War, about a modern Christian society we live in. There are no absolute truths, the Bible's not really true, all that kind of stuff. We live in a thing where we need to, well, for the girls, if the model looks skinnier like that, then I've got to get skinny like that, and the guys have got to all get buffy like me, and, you know. We're just following the world. We've got to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We live in a state of, well, our preoccupation is me and how important I am and my self-righteousness. And that self-righteousness is law and legalism. It's not grace. Paradigm shift. Second is God's grace. Now, I've got stuff here. I want you to listen carefully to what I want to say. I'm just going to read these off and maybe make a comment or two. God's grace towards us. 2 verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. You mean I don't have to pay for it? Our modern world, yeah, you pay for everything. There's no free lunch. There's a free eternal life for you. It didn't cost you anything, but it was seriously costly. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. A pure and perfect gift from God. Nothing we can do to earn it. Mark, that just sounds too good to be true. That's why we call it the good news. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. You mean it's free for me? Yeah. Bridget had that prophetic picture a little while ago about the banquet and the buffet. We all want to come to the buffet and just pick and choose what's good. And when this is not good, then we go to another church. And we get there, that's not good. And then we go to another church and we go there. But God has set a banquet before us. And he says, come, my children, come and dine. It is open. It is free feasting for you. God's grace. God's grace carries the reality of God's ongoing acceptance of us. An acceptance not dependent on our failures or successes. I feel like a failure, not in God's sight. I feel I haven't done right, not in God's sight. His grace is still extended towards you. Number two, grace is God's desire to bless us, not on the basis of our performance, but on the basis of Jesus' performance on our behalf. It takes all the pressure off of us to perform. Because we grow up in a society where we have to perform. If you're doing athletics, you've got to be number one. Nobody remember. Who won the 100 meters at the Olympics? Oh, they remember his name. Who came second? Oh, I don't know. Did you get 6 straight A's in school? Well, if you didn't, why not? Man, I was just happy to pass. Not that I was an underachiever. Well, school held no real allure for me. I much preferred surfing. Anyway, grace rescues us from the syndromes of guilt, rejection, insecurity, the tyranny of performance-oriented living based on our attempts to earn and achieve acceptance by keeping laws and regulations. It drives you. The enemy drives, Jesus leads. You feel driven in anything? It's legalism, it's law, it's not grace. I know what I'm talking about. I was driven to succeed in business. I was driven to make sure I reached the top. I was driven. And when I got saved, you know, does this echo somebody? Well, I'm not giving up my partying. I'm not giving up this and that. I don't even say this stuff. I'm not giving up. I used to show dogs. I'm not giving up my dog showing on a Sunday. And the wise people said, okay. And then something changed in my heart. And I went from a place of, I don't have to do this, but I want to do it. I don't have to come to church. Well, now I do. That's a joke. I want to be with the people that God has brought around us. I want to come and worship Him. I want to read the Word. I want to study the Scriptures. I want to have fellowship with you. Well, no one's going to tell me what to do. No, it's fine. You don't care. No, I do care. I care enough not to put the legal thing on you. Because you have to get the revelation yourself. And my heart breaks and it cries and weeps for you when you keep going around the same mountain. And you look at all the other people at the top of the mountain and say, oh, that's so cool up there. How do I get up there? Stop being about yourself. Where am I? Grace reveals that we are loved, valued, and accepted by God as we are. Well, you don't know. No, God knows. God knows the number of the hairs upon your head. You think He doesn't know the thoughts, exactly what you are thinking now? He knows. But He loves you just as you are. I already told you, no matter what you do, if you get all spiritual and pious and you worship and you pray and you read your Bible 5 times a day, He's not going to love you anymore. He said, but Mark, that doesn't sound like you're encouraging us to read the Bible. No, because I want you to get there yourself. I want you to want it. Not because I say so. Not because you feel guilty if you don't. Not because if you feel condemned if you don't. That you would set your clocks to get to church on time because you want to be here. Grace reveals that God's correction and rebuke does not involve a withdrawal of His acceptance, but rather a proof of His love. Grace delivers us from self-effort and heresy of self-made person. Grace is not what we do for God, but what God does for us. I've preached on the covenants. When God made a covenant with us, remember I said there's a syntheke and a diatheke. Syntheke means me and Chris make a covenant, same people, syntheke, something. Diatheke means the greater to the lesser. And the lesser can break it, but the greater will never ever break it. God will never break His covenant with us. And that's the covenant we live under. Grace turns disappointment. Anyone ever been disappointed about something? Into divine appointment and failure into stepping stones to success. Do you think Peter should be disappointed right now? And I'm saying this because I've spoken to him a little bit. And you know that he's sorrowful that his dad is gone. But he is rejoicing. Wow. Takes a disappointment and makes a failure into a stepping stone. Makes a disappointment into an opportunity. To tell that we can have reconciliation together. That we can be blessed when our parents go home. Grace brings the sunshine of heaven into our hearts. It releases us from the oppression of people's opinions. One of the greatest things we're afraid of is what man's opinion is. Fear of man is a terrible malady that besets the church. I'm losing my place here. It brings to naught Satan's accusations and destroys guilt and regret. Grace sets us free to be what God created us to be. Enthusiastic, joyful, spontaneous, risk-takers, mature and secure people in Christ Jesus. That's what grace will do for us. Grace allows us to bridge build and to be bridges for the kingdom. And time has really run me out, so let me just do this quickly because I don't want to leave this over. When we understand as bridge builders of grace and we live in the new relationship, the new rule and the new reality, we see that from chapter 2 we lived under an old master, we lived under an old mandate, we had an old motive, and we had an old measure. But in the grace, when we live in God's grace, when we become bridge builders of grace, we are given a new master. Chapter 2, verse 6, if you think I'm just making this stuff up. Saved by grace, and we are seated in heavenly places. I have a new master. His name is Jesus. The King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is my master and Lord. And sometimes we can say, well, I accepted Jesus, but I don't know about this master and Lord stuff. No, when we come under his rulership and his reignship, then we need to understand that he is our master. We are bought at a price. The price that he paid was with his life. We do not belong to ourselves. We do not own ourselves. We have a new motive. Chapter 2, verse 8. Because it is not of ourselves, not our doing, we are not performance driven. And as I said earlier, we go from the have to the want to. I want to read the scriptures. I want to know. And how do we get to know about stuff? We read the word because then it comes into our spirit. And when we have a moment in time, we don't know what to say. The Bible says that he will teach us what to say and will help us what to say. And all of a sudden you'll quote scripture and you'll go, wow, how did I know that stuff? Well, 6 months ago you read it and it got locked into your memory. And at the precise moment that it was needed, it was released. An oracle for the king and his kingdom. We have been given a new mandate. Chapter 2, verse 10. I was supposed to be putting this all up for you. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. God don't make no junk. Look at someone and say, God don't make no junk. Come on, you've got to believe this. You've got to believe it in your head. You've got to believe in your heart. I ain't no junk. See, that's the problem. I know we've done this before. We say, well, who feels holy here? Ooh, no, I don't feel like holy. You need a paradigm shift. You are holy. The Bible says you are. Who's a saint? Ooh, no, I don't think I'm a saint. Because those are those other guys, not me. Bible says, I want men to raise up holy hands everywhere. What men was he talking about? The guys in the church. It's you guys. Us. Last one. New measure, 2:10, part B. He has prepared good works for us to do beforehand, and we should walk in them. All this is new. Because we have a new relationship, we have a new ruler, we walk in a new reality. And we have a new master with a new motive for us, a new mandate and a new measure. And we want to be dispensers of divine grace, an epigenosis, knowledge of the Word of God, that we can go out and build bridges in grace. I'm sorry I've taken so much time this morning, but I just really felt I wanted to download that for us. And we were going to worship, but let's go and worship outside with coffee. Let's just stand together. You can worship with coffee. It's good. See, it gets religious when, we better sing the long last song. And Pastor, you didn't give the benediction. You know, everything, we can get religious about everything. Even crazy charismatics can get religious. They get religious about I'm so free and I'm so at liberty and I'm just like, because I'm free. You're strange. Last story. When I first went to the church, Bridget took me off to this church. I was unsaved. I got there and everyone was hallelujah, praise Jesus, and the band, they were going crazy and I didn't know what to do with my arms. I was like, I felt like a rapper. And I didn't know what to do with my arms. And they were all like, yeah! And then they were speaking in tongues. And then the one lady came up and she said, I just want you to know that the voice that you're hearing inside of you is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And I'm like, strange. Where's it go? So anyway, we left and Bridget, I said to Bridget, you know what? I said, it's a nice church we can go to, but please keep the crazies away from me. I don't dig that kind of stuff, eh? And you know what? I'm now one of the crazies. I'm chief crazy. So Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. And God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for grace, Lord God. Thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we ask, Lord, that this word this morning would impact our hearts. It would touch us, Lord God. Would deliver us from paradigms, from legalism, Lord. And let us walk in your grace, your freedom, because you have made us free, Lord God. That we would have paradigm shifts. We would walk in the effectiveness. Let us be dispensers of grace. Let us not only say that we live under grace, but let us be gracious, Lord God. And Father, we ask that you part us today. Bless us as we go. Let us enjoy our fellowship together. Let us drink good coffee together, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.